Blog Talk Radio.
What the hell did I see?
Hope. I was good on my own, that's the way it was. That's the way it was. You was good on the low for a faded fuss. I'm so faded love. Shit, what the fuck you complaining for? Feeling jaded up. Used to trip off that shit I was kicking to you. Had some fun on the run, though I'll give it to you. But baby, don't get it twisted. You was just another nigga on the hill list. Trying to fix any issues with a bad bitch. Didn't they tell you that I was a savage? Fuck your white horse in a carriage. That you never could imagine. Never thought you could have it. You need me. Ooh, you need me. For love more, give a love less. Now you hate to confess. But baby, who? Your white horse in a carriage that you never could imagine. Never thought you could have it. You need me.
Again on this Monday, September 26, 2016. This is the night that they are doing that debate. But here we are on the show. We're gonna have some fun and then we're gonna get into it. But right now, before we go further, I just wanna say what's up, Cotton? How you doing?
Hey.
How's it going?
It's going well, you know. Well, it can be expected for the Queen of Seduction.
Yeah, I know. I saw you, Queenie, walking in the damn airport. Man, you fucked up. They was playing with your pussy and shit. What were they doing?
Right. I was like, why did I go through this right here? What's this all about? I'm the only person randomly picked me?
Yeah, it must have been something about you that they wanted to feel.
Really? She really wanted to feel. You are not kidding.
I guess. Well, we do have one of the guests. I'm not sure. We have another call here as well, some other calls. But I do know that one of the guests is here with Eric at 314. You want to state your name and where you're calling from. You let us know who you are.
Hello?
Yeah.
How you doing?
I'm fine. How you doing?
I'm okay. Well, are you talking right now to Arthur Larry Jones? I'm from St. Louis, Missouri.
Okay, I'm still
okay,
a very important to Georgia.
Okay, well, we got two guests over here. Go ahead and both of y'all talk. Now, the guy from St. Louis, was you scheduled to be on tonight?
Yes, sir, I am.
Yes,
okay.
Yeah, there's two guests.
Okay, I thought so. Well, Let's start with you, Mr. St. Louis, and then we'll get the other gentleman from 229 area code.
Oh, well, my name is Arthur Larry Toombs. I'm an author and filmmaker, and, you know, I've written 5 books, and I've written my life story DVD, and I've written romance book, gospel books, and basically I started out in 2006 on Vernon Avenue, struggling, you know, by myself, and my life story book is basically about my struggles, you know, with no help, and I want to motivate the people by telling them that they, even though they don't have no help, to give up and continue on their dream, you know, and that's basically what I'm here today for, and that's basically my method is to motivate the people, never give up.
Okay, so you said you got 5 books, said it's romance. It's a genre.
Well, romance. My romance book is called "Is the Beautiful Lady Gone Forever." My gospel book is called "The Whole Truth Gospel." And like I said, I wrote my own life story autobiography, the life story of Arthur Larry Earl Toombs, and they are, you know, available on Amazon.com.
Okay. So, Cotton, did you want to go ahead and ask some questions?
Hey there, sir. How are you?
How you doing?
I'm good. How you been? You good?
Yeah, I'm just fine. I'm just fine.
Good. And you said you're in St. Louis, right?
I'm in St. Louis. Yes, ma'am. That's right.
Okay. So you go to Sweet? Have you been to Sweetie Pies?
Have I been where, ma'am?
Sweetie Pies.
No, I have not.
You haven't? Oh, okay. I'm just asking.
Sweetie Pies, I've passed by it. You know, I've passed by it, but I've never been to it. You know, I know the location. I've seen her myself, but I've never been inside to eat though. But I have seen her though.
You're probably the first person from St. Louis that's never eaten at Sweetie Pies.
Well, you
right,
know,
that's in St. Louis.
Right, but I hear that's a nice place to eat at, though, and I encourage the public to go to Sweetie Pies. You know,
I've actually eaten there and got a chance to meet her and take pictures with her, and her staff were amazing. So it is a very nice place to go because the food is good.
I actually used to go there before she even got on TV. We used to go there a lot because we used to have a lot of fraternity meetings and everything down there. And I had the opportunity to eat in her old restaurant. You probably went to the new one because she has a couple of them. We know who she is. And her food is good.
It might have been the newer. It was because as we were standing outside, the filming crew came by. And they told us, okay, I'm gonna make this real quick. So we all waving because we know we're about to be on TV. They said, cut,
right.
You guys cannot wave at the camera. I said, oh, that kind of sucks. So I had on my Team GPA shirt at the time, so I tried to turn to the right. So when they panned the camera my way, my shirt. I was trying to plug something since they didn't want us to wave, you know.
Right.
But actually, my question was to you is what made you decide to really want to write and continue to write?
That's just a passion that I picked up as a little boy. Actually, I was writing things about the age of 8. You know, I write things about the age of 8, but it was to make people laugh. And then as I got older and older, I tried to be a comedian, and I said the wrong words on stage, and I almost got arrested on stage. for saying profanity words. I try to be a comedian. So after I almost got arrested for being a comedian, then I had to write about serious things only, you know, because I didn't want to really get into any more trouble. So basically, it's just a passion I've been doing since 9 years old.
Nice. Well, nowadays you won't get arrested. As a matter of fact,
Well, we cuss on this show, so you can say what the fuck
right.
you want on here.
Oh, yeah.
We're not getting the yeah, but let me get to the other caller real quick, and then we'll let you both have a chance. The other caller is I think the other guest is 229 area code. Can you tell us where you're calling from and your name and everything?
Yes, sir. I'm Mr. Philip Barron. I'm calling from Valdosta, Georgia, and I'm suing my author, who has written 21 books. I have my first one published, just called the Testimonial, Almost to Greatness. And I must say, man, this is a compliment to you and your audience. For a moment, I thought I was talking to Donnie Simpson. You know who Donnie Simpson was? Used to be on BET from back in the day. So you sound like
right,
him a little
yeah.
bit.
Oh, really? Well, thank you very much. I just try to do my thing. That's it. But, yeah, I appreciate that, man. You know, I try to get that voice to get these women all hot and shit. But, you know, I can imagine Donnie Simpson talking like that and trying to get women hot. I'm sure he used to do that.
I don't see that happening. Hello? Did I lose y'all?
Yes, hey Miss Caitlin. It's been a long time since we spoke, and I must say I want to thank you so much for being the facilitator, because I remember when I had reached out to you and you were telling me about my friend and yours, Jerry Roy, which I call him my uncle, and I want to say thank you so much for hooking us up, because of you know, the visionary of this man who's really doing a fantastic job with Positive Power 21. You know, it's just amazing to see that, you know, you allow me to be a part of what he's trying to do. And I have to say thank you so much for not only being the facilitator, but also being the light to guide me to him. Because I have to give homage what homage is due.
Well, I appreciate that. I don't ever really expect a thank you, or I don't do things because I'm looking for any recognition. I just do it because I see people that can make a connection with somebody else, and doesn't have to necessarily do with me. Doesn't have to do with me at all. But, you know, if I can help out, then I absolutely will. But I appreciate the acknowledgement.
Yeah, see, my mother always told me, you know, give respect where respect is due. And I must say, if it wasn't for you, I probably wouldn't have known who, you know, Jerry Ross was. But, you know, based on you giving me his information, hooking us together, I mean, it's just like, you know, I must say this, I mean it humbly. It's just like, you know, Christmas present where, you know, everyone is getting the gift, but there's only one box that's open. And you don't know who the box belongs to, but if it has your name written on it, you open it, it's a beautiful gift.
Right. I understand that. That's lovely. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Yes, no problem. And it's been a long time, Caitlin, since we you know, since we chatted, but you know, like I said again, you're just you know, amazing, and I appreciate what you're doing.
Thank you. Philip?
Yes.
Philip's there, right? So you know this is Cotton, right?
Cotton, yes.
Okay. Because you said something else. Like,
well, I can pronounce your
name
right.
Yes, Kottyn, Cotton.
I'm sorry, I just can't pronounce the name.
No problem. No problem at all. I've been called everything, from Kitty to Cotton Candy to Kottyn. Sometimes I just answer and be like, oh, hey. Yeah, I don't take offense. So tell us something about your work and why you started writing.
Well, you know, as I stated earlier, you know, I've written a book which is called The Testimonial, Most Greatness. And what the book is mainly about, that's something that God has put on my spirit. It's really, really about us going through everyday life. And, you know, when you go through some, you know, state you come out of it. And I really wanted to write this book because I felt that, you know, the world really needed a word of encouragement, you know, become the messenger to the message. And based on what's going on, I'm sure you guys have been following news with this message in, you know, Charlotte, North Carolina with that protest and the sending down of the flag and other stuff. And, you know, it's really, really, you know, as me being, you know, child of God, it really, really disturbs me to see how everything is just going, you know, out of control. So I wanted to really, really try to deliver a message to the people by letting them know that God still has their back, just like the author before was talking about how he's looking to pretty much do the same thing I'm doing by really, really becoming messengers to the message by letting people know that God still has their back. And that means more to me than anything else.
It's funny that you brought that up because I've seen a couple people, because I posted, you know, we need to pray and put some action behind it and, you know, that whole thing. And a couple people posted, we've been praying. Well, pray and put some action behind it, but keep praying. Don't stop praying because you haven't seen it work, because we don't know what God's plan is at the end of the day. And I don't want to make this a religious thing, but that angers me when I see people say that, because prayer gets you through a lot of things just because you don't see the results right now. And it's partially because as black people, we're not doing what we're supposed to make things happen. We only cry out for help when a police officer kills one of us. That's the only time we really raise a ruckus. How about raising a ruckus when it's 15 people killed in Chicago by two or three black people? When do we raise a ruckus about that? So I don't want to touch base on that too much, because this is about you and Larry right now. So I'm gonna get off that topic.
No, but I was saying, though, you know, that's really my passion for doing what I'm doing, though, because I really, really believe that people out there need to know, you know, that there's always light at the end of the tunnel. And like you said, stated earlier about how it was a shame to seeing how, you know, young people are getting massacred. But my whole thing is that if you don't really, really speak out against what's going on, then you're going to probably be a part of the problem. And, you know, that's what I'm really, really trying to do as an author. I'm really trying to, you know, give people that token of endearment by letting them know that, you know, tough times may not last always, but tough people do. And if we can make it from A, then, you know, B is next on our list. So, again, that's my whole compassion of becoming a writer. Because one thing I can say humbly, that it's not so much about the money that you make. It's all about reaching and saving souls. And I'm sure that the author that's on the show with me, he'd probably agree with that.
Absolutely. Larry, are you still there?
Yes, I'm still here. Yes, me. Did I want to share? I can share to what's going on in the world today. We as black people. Yeah, I would like to share that. I think that we need to become more focused with, in raising the kids. You know, you can't really do much to them today as you could do as far as discipline them when we was growing up. You know, you don't have child abuse laws. No, you got those laws now, so you can't really discipline the kids. And I think that's playing a major factor in this violence that's going on today. And you got some people basically they don't want to raise their kids like they should. They don't want to really discipline their kids. They don't really think that their kids really will do anything. You see, and that's part of the problems too. Another thing, then I let you talk. Another thing is the police. You know, and some of those police, well, anytime you kill a man, he don't have a gun, then I think that person's wrong. But now some of those police are really out there to do the job, and I think that the ones who are doing their job, then we just need to let them do their job. And then that's all I have to say about that.
I would agree, definitely agree with that. You know, it's a it's a lot going on with that. But actually, do you have one of your books in front of you?
I would like
that if each of you could read something from an excerpt from one of your books. Nothing really long, but just to give the people a feel of what you've written about.
We'll let him go first.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Larry. Well, Ms. Patton, this is the poem which I want to read to your audience, and it's from what I want to call the people's book, The Testimonial, Once Two Greens, and it's called They Call Me a Nomad. And the poem says, they say I am a nomad, but today I can surely say I'm glad. People have said to me I will never make it only because I just couldn't take it. People want to point fingers to blame me, but growing up as a child, I had to take the stairs and the aisles. I even had to replace the old worn-out shoes. I may not stand tall because of my height, but with God's love and emergence in my life, I can surely show people time and time again. But I, too, brings the cross any day or night.
Nice. Very nice.
Thank you.
What prompted that particular poem?
Well, as I was saying earlier, when you think about nomads, you think about travelers, and they go from place to place. But it's just being nomads, like the places that we go, we're always finding trouble. You heard your saying, trouble comes looking for us. And as nomads, we really, really have to distance ourselves from trouble. It's kind of like saying, like, when you're traveling all over the world and you see certain things, you really have to try to distance yourself from all that negativity. So that's what really, really motivated me to write that poem, because we all have actually gone through things in our lives, and people have talked about us, people actually know that we're thinking, and sometimes you really have to make your haters your congratulators. So I wanted to put that out there.
Nice, very nice. I'm sure you've gotten a lot of attention for that one.
Yes.
Have you got a lot of good feedback on that particular poem? Hello?
What was that?
I said, have you gotten a lot of good feedback on that particular piece?
Oh, yeah. So, yes. Like I said again, I dedicated that poem to those who've been through, a lot of things in their lives. And, like I said again, Ms. Khan, I want to try to give people, something that they can really, really not only relate to, but something they can embrace.
Yeah, I see. That makes sense. Larry,
mm-hmm.
Do you have something you can read for us from your book?
Yeah, I do. This is a poem I already wrote, but I put it in my in the Whole Truth Gospel. I put it in my gospel book. It's called Embrace the Dream. And it goes like this. While achieving the dream, ignorance tried to, I'm gonna start over because I heard some in the background, so I'm gonna start it over. It's called Embrace the Dream. While achieving the dream, ignorance tried to rob me of my dignity and pride. Ignorance constantly reminds me to stay in doubt. Even the light of day runs out. While focusing my mind on winning this race, ignorance assures me you'll come in last place. Silent bells of liberty ring. No reason at all for me to sing. As I look up and wonder why, a rainbow of hope covers the sky. Then cast ignorance into the sea. One last call, one hope for me. I cannot lose, I will not try, for our ancestors' image is in my eyes. For if our ancestors' dreams are put to waste, it leaves in our mouth such shameful taste. Although my struggles were hard, it seems, nevertheless, I embrace the dream. That's called Embrace the Dream.
Very nice. Philip, what did you think about that?
I was feeling everything he was talking about, and I felt like it's kind of like the like my poem, you know, still a message about hope and respiration.
Yeah, absolutely. Both of you guys' poems. Red Snapper? Did he leave me?
No, I didn't leave you. I'm here.
Oh, what did you think?
Well, I thought it was awesome. I mean, you know, I'm not a poet, but I can definitely hear the passion in the poems. You know, that they put in it, because you know, to me that's important. I always tell people, even those that just write books, nobody knows the passion that you put in your book but you. So when you recite your work, it should be able to show how you felt when you were writing, or you should be able to have that feeling in you. Unless it was something that was that you could only get sometimes, the feeling that you have when you wrote it should be able to come back to you when you recite it. So I thought it was pretty good.
Especially if you're going to recite to Miss Cotton, because Miss Cotton don't, or Red, for that matter. We don't like everybody's stuff, so.
Yeah, because if it comes out and I feel like you're not serious about what you're doing, then I'm going to let you know, because it's your craft.
Yeah,
you know,
you should be able to do it better than the person listening. You know, they should have,
right.
Like he said, when you do stuff like that, and I've tried to convey that to people, if you're going to have me listen to you, you better give it to me like you wrote it, like you meant
right.
it when you wrote it. Otherwise, it comes off to your entire audience like that. So
right.
I enjoy both pieces. Definitely enjoy both pieces.
So what is the future, and each one of you, if you could, starting with St. Louis and then Mr. Toombs and then going forth, what is your ambitions to go forward with your craft? Or I know that you've written these things and you say you want to help people to be able to go forth in their dreams. How are some of the ways that you've been doing that in through your book signings and stuff like that? Have you been reaching out and coming up with other projects to kind of make yourself go forth in that?
Well, I have been coming up with other projects. I like I said, I filmed my own. It's a 45-minute, it's a 52-minute life story documented film that I'm also working with too. It's just on the back burner, but I'm still working on my life story documentary film. And I work with kids, and I work with boys and girls. I work with domestic violence women. And women who can't get their kids. I have a gospel radio show. I pray for these women. So I do. I basically got my hands in a lot of things. And when you ask me what to answer your thing, I want to see my film. I want to see my films. You know, go to Broadway. That's basically what I'm working on right now. I want to see my film, my life story documentary film. Maybe be turned into a movie. Be played, you know, for people to see. So that's what I'm working on now. That's what my future goals are, and sell the book that I have written too.
Okay. Well, you said you wrote your life story. What does it entail?
Well, my life story book. You know, I wrote it at the age of 44 when I wrote it. It tells about how hard I struggled with the book with no help. It tells about how I survived drug rehab. It gets deep. It tells how.
Okay, yeah, that's what I'm trying to find
survived.
Out. Now you're getting there. Now you're starting to get there. Okay. Drug.
It tells how I survived homelessness,
okay.
drug rehab,
right.
and things like that. You know, the life story of Arthur Larry Toon is really what I've been through in my life. You know,
a lot of people say, not trying to cut you off, but a lot of people say they want to write about their story, but your story could have been. Silver Spoon story. I mean, I don't know why, but you saying that. I mean, you could have told us how you got rich and how you, you know, I don't know. I, that's the reason why I'm trying to get you to explain it to us so we know which.
Right. I did 7 weeks in drug rehab, and some people are still battling with drugs. You know, in my case, I was doing marijuana, but it's still a drug, and people are battling with drugs. And they think it's embarrassing, you know.
I don't think marijuana
for me.
Is a drug. I use it.
Well,
y'all shouldn't have heard me say that, but I did. Anyway, I don't think that's a drug.
Yeah.
It's an herb.
Right.
Right. Drug is something that a man makes, puts into fruition. A drug, you can't go out there and find a drug in the ground and you know, it's in its full capacity. You have to put that drug into the motion it's in. I mean, just like cocaine, you know, it's not in the form that you snort it. You have to put it in that form to make it a drug. The herb, you can grow it and take it from the source and smoke it. That's a difference.
Right.
Exactly. So that's the reason why people need to stop putting herbs and you know, weed in the category of a drug, because it's not.
True.
But anyway, go ahead.
You know, some people, you know, even they say that I was smoking marijuana, it was the idea that I did go to the drug rehab, and that would be embarrassing, some people say. But I talk about it because there's people... there's only way to drug rehab. You know, there's a message that people need to understand. You know that they're not alone when it comes to going to these drug rehab. So here's Arthur. I'm not a rich Arthur, but I am one, and I did go to drug rehab. You know, so that'll give the people some encouragement that if I survive the drug rehab, then it's hope for them too.
Okay. Well, let me ask the other author and give us his assessment of his future.
Philip.
Okay, sure. My assessment of my future is continuing to use the themes of my book to give, you know, readers, which I'm trying to reach, the visionary of hope and endearment. Because whenever I write my books, you know, I usually write it for the people, because I'm trying to give people something to think about and to give people something more to embrace. As I was saying earlier about, you know, that's my whole goal, is to really, you know, take a seed of wording, to plant it into the minds of people. That way, once they wind up seeing the vision, they'll be able to use the vision to help other people. So that's mostly what I'm trying to do. That's where I see, you know, my future going, just to continue to be the messenger for the message.
Okay, so let me ask you, what is the vision?
The vision in which I have, you know, it comes all the way back to what I was saying earlier about having the confidence, having the hope, you know, having the endearment of persevering through the difficulties of life and still being able to see the light in the tunnel. Just like the scripture says in Habakkuk 2:3, says, write the vision and make it plain. So the vision I have is to give people that endearment by letting them know that they too can make a difference in other people's lives if they're able to, you know, speak to them, be able to encourage them.
Okay. All righty. Well, Cotton?
Yes.
You have anything else?
Did Larry say what he plans on, what his future holds already?
Yeah, he was first.
Dang, I was listening, but maybe I missed it. I don't know. Somebody might have started talking. So, do either of you plan on doing any collaborations at all?
I'm
asking, do you have any plans to do any collaborations?
Well, for me, Larry. I don't have any plans at this time.
Okay. So
when you say collaborate, are you talking about them together or with other poets or authors?
Yeah, with any other poet or author, you know, could be urban. Yeah.
If I had the opportunity, you know, if I had that opportunity, you know, since being in St. Louis, you know, St. Louis is a little slow than other states. You know, stand-up poetry, stand-ups. But I don't have an option as the other states. I really don't have.
I've performed in St. Louis, so.
You never tried to get with people in Kansas City?
No, I've never tried that.
Yeah, you just gotta.
You know, the poetry game is real big in Kansas City.
Yeah.
I have to check it out. I really, any opportunity I would do, I love to do it. Any opportunity that I would get, I'd love to do that, you know.
Yeah.
I went to St. Louis Poetry Slam, Genesis House, and anywhere all around St. Louis doing stand up, you know, doing poetry recital. So anything like that,
Have you told them about our festival coming up in April?
Not yet.
Okay.
So
I guess you're not gonna tell
that's
them.
My
okay.
to say that's my cue to
Go
say
ahead.
Something.
We have
an Arthur's event coming up in April. So it's gonna be in Kansas City, Missouri. Basically, you know, we'll have it set up to where it's open to the public. So you can purchase a table. The table for one Arthur is $150. If you want a couple with another Arthur, it's $200 for the both of you, so you can split that cost. We're going to have poetry and PJ. So we'll have a night where you're dressed in your PJs, but we'll be having a poetry set, you know, where some poets will come out and do their thing. You can still purchase books if you need to. We'll have wine and strawberry chocolates and things like that, because this is more of an erotic event. So this is to basically put light to the erotic writers out there. You know, so if you're interested, you can inbox myself or Red Snapper. Either of us can send you the information.
Okay.
Red Snapper.
Snapper.
She's the only one that can say it like that.
So if you're not familiar with who Red Snapper is, he is an erotic writer. So he has, is it 17 books so far?
Yeah.
17 books of mostly erotic urban fiction. So if you're interested in being a part of the event, let us know. And we'll send you the information where you can reserve your table.
And you don't have to do erotica. You still can do
yeah,
your
you
stuff.
Do
it's just we're just focusing mostly on that. But there will be time for you to be able to bring the things that you brought tonight on the show as well. So
yeah, you don't have to do erotic. You just we're basically putting more of this light on erotic writing. Yes.
Right.
So do y'all have any questions of us? We've been asking y'all questions all evening. Y'all have any questions of us?
I'm trusting Miss Cotton. I love her demeanor when she says that whenever you're writing, you know, something, she wants, you know, whoever the author is, you know, to bring it to her. And Miss Cotton, when you use the phrase bring it to you, are you looking for originality, delivery, or the authenticity?
All of that, because I've been a performing person since I was a little girl. So you can't step on stage, or you can't try to, if I can't feel what you felt when you wrote it, it's pointless to try to bring it to me. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know what I'm supposed to be getting out of this if you're not even passionate about what you're writing. I don't believe you. So if I don't believe you, why should I purchase anything of yours or support what you do?
Absolutely.
You know what that reminded me of? What she was saying, it reminded me so much of where I remember watching this documentary, and he used to say that he really, really didn't believe in putting any of his music out there, not less than he's feeling it. So I kind of like, you know, get what Miss Time is saying, and that's the way with me. You know, if I'm not feeling anything, then how do I expect, you know, other people to feel it too? So everything starts from the vision, and the vision comes from the heart and comes from the mind. And I really, really
you know, appreciate what Ms. Kline was saying, though, because, you know, she is absolutely right. Even when you go to some of these poetry contests or poetry, you know, a performance where if you're not really, where if you're not, if the audience is not feeling you, then at the same time you're gonna wind up losing them. And I like to stand for them.
Don't be trying to impose me. I'm coming.
Yeah, okay.
I'm coming.
Okay. Well,
let me give you a real quick example, and y'all can, because there's three of y'all men on the phone right now. And Red's heard me do stuff before, so I'm a go. Let me see. I'm gonna do this. Here we go. Last night I cried, tossed and turned. Woke up with dry eyes. My mind was racing. Feet was pacing. Lord help me. Please tell me what I have gotten into. Ran my 3 miles. To clear my mind, it only helps me out. It's my therapy when I'm losing it, which is usually. I'm on an emotional roller coaster. Loving you ain't nothing healthy. Loving you was never good for me. And did you like that version?
That was beautiful. It sounded like you was in church or prophesying.
Did you feel my heart and soul in that?
Listen, I felt the rhythm.
Larry, where you at?
I'm here. That was no wrong. Is that Jill Scott? But I felt the compassionate. You know, I felt the
okay.
Emotions.
I'm laughing because he said he sounded like he was prophesying in church. Okay, that's the first time I ever heard that.
Okay, so
well, I know you, Cotton. I've seen you. I've seen you. You know, go ahead.
So let me come back. I'm gonna come back around. I'm gonna give you that same thing. I'm gonna give it to you like this. Last night I cried, tossed and turned. Woke up with dry eyes. My mind was racing, feet were pacing. Lord help me, please tell me what I have gotten into. Ran my 3 miles to clear my mind. It always helps me out. It's my therapy when I'm losing it, which is usually. Hey, I'm on an emotional roller coaster. Loving you ain't nothing healthy. Loving you was never good for me. But I can't get off. So did you feel the first one more or the second one more?
I felt the second one more.
Yeah.
That was definitely not a prophecy.
Larry?
I like the first one the most.
Same song. Just two different.
It was a remake.
Yeah. Two renditions.
But my point is that if I was standing on stage in front of you, I would probably lose your attention with that first one. Because you're in a room full of people and there's a lot of stuff going on. But if I'm on stage and I bring you that second one, I automatically got your attention as soon as I opened my mouth. And that's the same thing for me when it comes to poetry. Like, I need to feel it. Or if you're reading, even if you're reading from your book, you know, like when Red read stuff from his book, I'm just like, dang, Red, I'm hot and bothered now. You know, just that kind of thing.
I'm
so that's what I mean.
Especially in erotica, in anything, though, and this, of course, not just in erotica, but in anything. If you want somebody to get a certain reaction from what you've written, I'm a firm believer that if, especially in erotica, if I can't get you hot, if I'm not getting hot by writing what I wrote, then how am I expecting you to get hot? How am I expecting you to get a response or to stop and want to have sex or whatever you want to do, masturbate or whatever, to something that you've read
if it's not making you do that, or if it's not making me do that, then how I expect someone else to do that?
Yeah, and so that's pretty much what we mean when we say that. So I enjoy both pieces that you brought because there was power in both pieces. You know, so that's just, I just was elaborating on when he said, what do you mean? So I was like, let me give an example. I started to do a poem, but I was like, I'm not trying to get anybody
on. I thought
he
was
going to
do his lips or something.
No.
Or something, you know.
No.
Yeah, but anyway.
So, yeah, it's just, we, you know, we do these shows so that we can support authors. And if anybody has any questions, like, I was just hit up the other day, and I'm going to put this out there again because I don't, Phillip's not my Facebook friend, so I don't know if he sees the stuff that I put out there. But he asked about writing a book and how he should go. He got cheated out of his money and his manuscript because he sent his actual manuscript to the publisher. I said, that's never do that. Never. Always send a copy. So, and I said, if she was, and if this person is, because he said it's a she, if she was a good publisher, she would have advised that to you. Don't send me your original, send me your copy. Now you got to fight to get back your actual, your original work from this publisher. And then you can't even prove that you sent it to her.
Okay, so you don't have this on electronics anywhere?
He said he hand wrote everything.
Oh, God.
I said, whoa.
That's people still hand write?
I said the same thing. Yeah, I don't do that.
Wow.
That's too much for me.
Yeah.
That's too much for me. So are you guys all self-published, or do you have a publisher?
Oh, I have a publisher. It's called Infinity Publishing. That's what I'm using. And they're one of the most fantastic publishers that I have the highest respect of working with.
Okay. Nice. Very nice. Larry,
so who's the publisher again? I'm sorry. What's the publisher?
Infinity.
Oh, Infinity. Okay.
I have three publishers. Like Infinity is one of them. Global Publishing in St. Louis, and a couple of my books I use Create Space for to.
Okay, that's good. Create Space is probably the best one. Yeah.
It's the best one for me.
Yeah.
Because I can change anything, I can take it down when I want to. I can stop it from being moved forward when I want to. They copyright it automatically. So, you know, it's good.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to go through a third party for copy.
Right.
You know, and they don't charge no upfront fees.
Right.
I love Creative Space.
Amazon is making enough money.
Yeah.
Amazon is making enough money that they don't have to screw people.
Right.
Like your Arthur Houses and Lulus and all those people.
Mhm. Yeah, they getting over. They know they getting over. So.
Right.
You know. So if you guys are interested in coming to the event, just let myself know or let Snapper know, and but I'll send you the information anyway, just so you'll have it.
Okay.
And, again, it's April. It's in April. It's the end. It's a later part of
April. 21st, 22nd, 23rd.
Yeah, and it's gonna be fun.
Okay.
Have you ever been to Kansas City, Missouri, Larry?
I've never been to Kansas, Missouri.
Really?
I'm in the city, but the thing about it, I moved from Mississippi. I moved to St. Louis in 2000. I've been here a long time.
You're not
time.
Originally from St. Louis. Okay.
Oh,
I'm not really. That's why
Sweetie Pies ain't shit to you and all that. I get it now. Okay.
I love Sweetie Pies. I love Sweetie Pies. she wanna hear that, she wanna hear that, then she was like that, you know. She don't know me, but she was sitting outside when they went past through. You know, she don't really, you know, I didn't say anything
right
to her really.
Yeah, you know, okay. She used to sing with Tina Turner and all them people. You know that.
So. Yeah, I remember. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I remember that part.
Who
yeah
used to sing with Tina Turner?
She did. She was a backup singer for. That's where she started from.
Yeah.
She was a back.
She who?
That's true.
Sweetie Pie.
Oh, did she? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was a backup singer for the Ike and Tina Turner.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, she was one of them. That's where all that started. And then she just got her restaurant and been going forward for ever since.
Very interesting. So tell the people where they can get your information, where they can buy your books at, Philip. You go.
Oh, sure. They can go to Amazon.com, and it's also available on Kindle. And they can also go to buybooksontheweb.com. That's actually Infinity's Publishing's website. So they can go there on Amazon.
And your social media?
Okay. Say it again?
Your social media?
Oh, yes, I'm on Facebook.
How do they find you on Facebook?
What they can do is they can go to Facebook and type in Arthur Philip Berrien, and they'll be able to see an image of my book there. It has an angel, and it has the name, the testimonial, Much True Greatness written on it. They can't miss it.
So your books are mostly Christian based,
well,
nonfiction,
this,
or are they fiction books? What are they?
Okay, the testimonial Once to Greatness is actually a Christian based book, but it has a collaboration of poems and short stories.
Okay. So is that the genre you write in, basically?
Most likely. I usually write in the genre of visionary, though, but like I said earlier, and I think it's kind of touched on it earlier. You know, I write on the topics on what people are feeling, what they're going through, what they're thinking. That's my whole genre, to make them think.
So you write on people's feelings. So is that like a self-help type thing? Because a genre, to me, I mean, that's a new genre, unless you're saying you're creating a new genre. Genres are usually an area of preference, like urban fiction or Christian fiction or Christian nonfiction, what it sounds like you're in, just different stuff. But if you're a visionary, that could be definitely be a new genre, visionary fiction or nonfiction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, visionary, you know, see, it's like this.
I've never heard of that. That's the reason why I'm asking, visionary.
Visionary.
What does that mean? I mean, you're when you say visionary, are you saying that you are giving people visions that you've seen of them,
the way I explain it, when I say vision, we think about a vision, you have to think about images that you see in your head. You're understanding that, you know, everything starts from the brain. And when I say the word vision, it's really, really, just like, for example, when Ms. Cotton is actually doing a two performance, she was actually painting a picture where everybody can see and relate to. So when I say vision, I'm really writing stories of people in the vision. It's like their stories are being portrayed.
Okay. So it's kind of like a soothsayer or something like that, huh?
How do people
want
to perceive it?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just trying to, you know, because a visionary is, you know, there's lots of other definitions to that. So when you say you're a visionary and you're writing visions you're trying to give people a vision of what you've experienced so that they can be able to use that in their future?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, so something that you have been given. I guess the visions have given to you maybe from God, and then you put it down on paper. Is that what you're saying?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Well, we got a whole another hour, Cotton.
Wow. What are we
going to
do?
Well, I mean, do you have a subject? We probably can't talk sexual or nothing like that because these guys seem like they're more spiritual, so I don't want to go in a realm of something that they're not wanting to speak on.
Yeah, I'll save that one for later, for the next time.
Okay. All right. Well, did y'all have anybody that y'all wanted to shout out to, thank, or for your getting you to where you are now? Because one of the guys already dropped already, so.
Well, I'm still here. Arthur Toombs here.
Right.
Basically, just I thank, you know, God for where I came from, because when I started out, nobody even knew who I was. A lot of people, you know, the world really don't know who I am. Not the whole world. So I still got a long way to go. But when I started out, nobody knew who I was, but I made some improvements. People know who I am. People know who I am now. And so basically, I just have to thank God for that, you know. And you know, I was a poor man when I started, you know. And basically, everything I paid for myself, you know. I paid for everything. You know, nobody know. I had no literary agent. You know, I didn't have anything like that. And that's hard for a man with a book. He can have no help. You know, that's hard. The average man that's got a book, really, if he's self-publishing it, it costs millions just to self-publish. Now imagine a poor man trying to self-publish a book. That's really a big responsibility. He got to write the book. He got to edit the book himself. He can't have no misspelled words in the book. He's taking on a $1 million job, you know, himself, but he don't have $1 million. So I just want to, you know, thank God, you know, for helping me. And I just want to tell people where they can get my books at. You know, my name is Larry Toombs. It's, you know how to spell it. It's T-O-O-M-B-S. And my life story book, my romance book, my gospel book, they're all on Amazon. They're all on Amazon. You know.
Okay. All righty. Well,
nice. Philip dropped off.
Thank you for coming on the show. Huh?
Philip dropped off.
Yeah, he dropped. He's gone.
Oh, okay.
I think he dropped when I started talking about a subject, sexual or whatever. Anyway, I think, you know, I don't want to keep pushing this if we don't have anything else. But I do thank you for coming on the show, sir. And
thank you so much, Larry.
You know, for coming on and sharing yourself with us. And you know, you're welcome to come back whenever you get something new or whatever out. Just let us know, and we'll.
Mm-hmm.
We'll speak with you again.
Okay, let me ask you both one thing. How would you feel about you know, I'm mostly gospel. I write anything, but I have a gospel book. I did come on this show. How would you feel about coming on a gospel show?
I wouldn't have a problem with you there as long as the people understand what I do now. Like I said, I write erotica, so I would come on as long as people are not asking questions or trying to condemn me in the fact of why you do that and God this and that. As long as it's not like that, I'm fine.
No judging. So I have, I actually wrote a poetry book titled God is Calling. So I write a lot about love.
Okay.
That's my
okay. Well, hopefully in the future, you know, I can contact you in the future. In the future, and,
yeah, just let us know if you want us on your show. I'll be happy to come on, but like I said,
I explain to the people what you write. I explain to them what you write. I explain to them what you do before you come on.
And then, you know, the offer is definitely appreciated because it's very rare that anybody even comes on and says, "Hey, well, I want you on my show now." That you know, now that I've been on your show, why don't you come on my show? We don't get that.
Right, because we've had a lot of people who have shows and have never done that.
Never.
You're right.
We've been going, what, since 2009, Red? 2009?
Right.
We've been going.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right.
Definitely appreciate that, Larry.
I will. I'll be reaching out in the future then.
Thank you so much for coming on.
Okay. I want to thank you for letting me come on. I want to thank both of you for letting me come on.
Absolutely. Anytime. You're more than welcome to come back.
Okay. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Okay.
All right. Well, we are me and you here now, and we're doing our thing. So I'm not going to hold you. If you got something to do, I hate to end the show early, but we got 58 minutes, and I know the debates are on. I don't know if you were interested in watching that or not, but
I do want to make sure we let the audience know that we have you can register for the Arthur event in Kansas City, Missouri, as of right now, to you know reserve your spot. For that show, for those who are listening and those who will listen to this later.
Right. The first annual.
April 21st.
Erotic fiction. That's right. April 21st, 22nd, 23rd. First annual Word Sexy Erotic Fiction and Poetry Festival.
Yes. Yes. I love that title.
And we're going to be here and we're going to keep this thing going every year. We just want to make sure you guys want it. So that's the reason why we're asking, you know.
Register
if
you now.
Show up.
Reserve your spot. You know, $50 will hold your spot, and then you can pay the rest by February 15th.
Yes.
So get ready.
And we're
going to
have
ready,
a good
y'all.
Time. We got some stuff in store for you. We want you guys to come and have a good time. You know, that's
yes.
You know, let your hair
all
down. Enjoy
fun.
Yourself. Meet some other authors that write
down.
Different genres. Yeah. You know, we want you to come on.
We want you to come and relax. So. Be yourself.
Right. Now get to see Cotton. That'll be good. Try to stay away from my lips. Anyway.
Yes, sir. Lisa.
Cotton, I'm sorry. I hopefully the wrong person's not listening to this tonight. But,
yeah,
but like I said... You're not getting in trouble. Don't worry. It's. You've been my friend for quite some time, actually longer than her. So.
Yeah.
So. And I'm glad that I was given the opportunity to taste those lips.
Oh my God.
These lips.
Oh wow.
The tongue. See, I didn't even get into the tongue. I didn't even talk about the tongue.
I'm going to let you get off here, fool.
Yeah, I don't want to get in trouble. But anyway.
I don't know the website. That's what I was about to say. I'm not sure. The website for the Eventbrite?
Uh-huh.
But if you go
is it
to,
wrong?
If you go to I don't know what it is, so that's what I was saying. But
oh,
if
you want
go
me to
with,
tell you what it is. Okay.
If you can just
on the Word Sexy page. Let me tell you what it is. I'll tell you exactly what it is. If you go to the group Word Sexy, and you can actually copy it from there, but because it's LynnLedoux5@gmail.com/, I'll tell you what it is. And you can actually go there and cut and paste it and put it where you want it.
I'm not in the Word Sexy group anymore. So
what?
I don't
what happened?
Oh, my goodness.
How'd you get out of that?
Yeah. Long story.
Oh my goodness!
Well, actually,
I thought that was
short story.
I thought I was going to show that, but anyway.
I can tell you off air later.
Okay. All right. Must be something to do with somebody's damn husband. Anyway. I'm going to go to your page, then. I'm going to put it on your page. You'll have it.
Oh, perfect. Thank you so much.
Let me see. Colin. But, yeah, we want people to come to this, man. We really, 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 really want that. And I have Writer's Block as one of the sponsors of this. Did you know that?
Awesome. Awesome.
When you go on the website, you'll see that. Okay. You don't have any way to put anything on your site.
You can inbox it to me, or you have to say my name?
Yeah, I'm going to inbox it to you right now.
Okay.
Because there's no way, and I know why you did that, because you can't, you know, bitches. I'll just say that. How about that?
Yeah.
Anyway.
because people all day long would post stuff on my page all day, and I could never see, like, stuff that I wanted to see.
Right.
Like,
well, are you there
now?
Are you looking at it now? Are you looking at it? I just inboxed you.
Yeah. Literally,
and you should be able to go to it.
Yeah, I see it.
You should be able to go to it now, and you should be able to. I'm going to add other authors. I just have those four, and I'm not even sure if all those are going to be the ones that's going to be the preachers. But as we go forth.
I still haven't got the picture from only one.
Oh, yeah. He is going to be a feature, right?
Yeah, he's a featured author, but he hasn't sent me. He called me the other day. I just didn't get back to him yet. So we'll see.
So, okay, I got it.
Nice. Looks good. It looks great. I love that picture of the downtown, of the plaza.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's going to be an awesome thing there once we do that. I'm hoping people will come on and support this and actually do this, because it's going to be a great thing. And, of course, it's going to be as great as you make it, those that want to be here, I think that they should get on in.
Yeah,
I think my girl Sirius, I think she's still coming. She said she was, so we're gonna have to go back and make sure everybody's. Yeah, as we get closer, they start paying their money, of course.
Yeah, you know, some of these people are crazy with they mess. You have to laugh at them.
Yeah. I didn't know if GPA wanted to be a sponsor or not. He could put his sponsor stuff on there if he wants to.
I'll let him know, because I don't think I'll let him know, but I'm sure he would.
Yeah.
I was trying to think of some other people that might want to sponsor. You know, the more sponsors we have on there, the more people will look at it, you know.
Exactly. Absolutely.
The better it looks. So I'll also check with a couple other people and see if they want to be a sponsor, which means we'll put their logo up onto the website.
Right. Normally sponsors are supposed to pay some money toward us, but we're going to let them just get on there right now, man. If we get a whole bunch of them, they're going to have to start $50 a piece or something.
He said that, not me. So if you sponsor,
okay, well,
you mean you bring something to the table.
Well, then they need to pay if they want their logo on.
Yeah. If you want to be a sponsor, you need to pay something. Even if it's only $25, we'll figure it out. I'll let you know.
Right. It's got to be done.
Yes.
Right.
We've done so much stuff, you know, pro bono for so long that, you know, I don't, even a little bit of something to contribute helps, because you can't get everything for free.
That's absolutely right.
Yeah, so we gotta start looking a little, you know, adding a little, because it costs us to do stuff, so we can't give them everything for free.
Yeah, that's right.
So let's see what we can do. I'll definitely start pushing this a little bit more. I'll post it up on my own website as well, so that people can know that they can purchase it, because random people always go to my website.
Right.
So hopefully people will take heed to
right.
to that.
Well,
so yeah, but I'm glad they came on. We appreciate them definitely coming on.
Yeah, and then I guess it was kind of, I mean, it was a good interview, but you know how we are. We normally like to laugh and joke and get into it. We didn't get a chance to do that the last couple, but we will the next. I don't know who's coming next, but we got to get some excitement and some sexual. I can talk shit, but I mean, you know.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah,
definitely.
It's all good, though. They were good, so.
I got to look and see who, if I have anybody scheduled. I don't know if you have somebody coming up so far.
I don't.
A few people back to me, so.
I do not. So go ahead.
Yet.
Okay.
So,
all right, well, I'm probably going to let it go right now since, you know, we got a lot of time. We'll make up for this when we do the next one. I know we the last couple of shows have been getting off a little quick, but that's okay, because we got the time. We're gonna get it done, hopefully, and we'll work it out. So
yeah, absolutely.
I guess I'm going here and see what this debate's about. But we thank y'all for listening, and come on back next week.
All right.
Like we always do.
Next week, everybody.
Huh?
I said till next week.
All right. I'm